Hello, today's date is March 21st, 2009, and it's about 12:47 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I am interviewing a gentleman by the name of Winston Wu. This is for the Roller Steve Show, and Winston is back. This is the second interview I've done with him. This is episode two, and he's going to talk about arranging tours, you know, the different type of packages, like when people go overseas, what their expectations are. I'll let you take it away, Winston.
Well, first of all, let me say that I'm arranging a tour overseas, or you know, a trip, as I'd like to call it, is a lot more easier than you think. I mean, a lot of it is just good common sense. You have to ask people, experienced travelers, you know, questions, and it's a lot easier than you think once you do it. You just have to get over the fear, the hurdles, the comfort zones, the procrastination. You know, it's too easy to do nothing and to take the path of least resistance, and overcome what people think. But once you get used to it, you build confidence and you start to get better at it. The first thing you need to do, of course, is to you know, select the country you're going to, and that takes a little bit of research, you know, not just on the internet, but in talking to people too, and getting a vibe. And you got to decide. I mean, if you're going to another country to meet women or to date women, you got to select the best market. For example, I'm an Asian guy, and in America is not a good market for me because Asian males are considered the least attractive of all the races. So and plus I'm 5'7", and most women in the U.S. want a guy over 5'9". So I'm kind of out of the market in the U.S. But if I look globally, you know, at all the other 200 countries out there, I find that, let's say I prefer white women. For an Asian guy, then Europe would be better because there's less, you know, racism in the dating scene towards some countries in Europe than in the U.S. Even in Britain, I mean, a lot of Asians say that, you know, even though the women in Britain are similar to the U.S., that there's less of a racial, there's less racism against Asian males there in general, so there's less of a racial hang-up about dating an Asian male. So that works in their favor. Blacks mention this too, and so do Arabs, that the British women treat them better than their American counterparts, even though they're somewhat similar, according to some people. So even Britain would be a better market, but what's even better would be Eastern Europe, because the society is more open and inclusive, and it has some of the luxuries and culture, the rich culture of Europe, and at the same time it's very open and inclusive, and Eastern Europe tends to be more of a poorer part of Europe, so people are going to be more and more open and communal and inclusive. There's going to be more of a camaraderie, but you can find that in Western Europe too. I mean, you can go to, depends on where you go, I mean, to Spain or wherever. So Eastern Europe is good. Also, Eastern Russia is good for Asian men too, but more so on the east than on the west, because on the west there's sort of a racism against Asian males. But on the east, you know, it's more closer to China. So theoretically, according to what I've heard, you know, I've never been to Eastern Russia, but from what I've heard, the Caucasian women in Eastern Russia, you know, they like Asian culture, they like Asian people, and they're fascinated by it. So it would be a good place for an Asian guy to meet women there too, you know, if they like Caucasian women. And South America is always great too. I mean, especially Brazil, but it all depends on the different countries. And one of the countries, the country I've been living in the past 2 years, which is the Philippines, is awesome for both Asian men and white men. Because over there, my race doesn't work against me, because they like foreign Asian men, and most Filipino women aren't that tall, and they don't have anything against a guy that's 5'7". So over there, I'm given a much higher market value. There's a lot of women that you know, I can choose from, that are friendly to me, that I can meet easily. So definitely all the factors of the market in the Philippines
right.
is on my side. And yeah, gives me the upper hand, and you know, and that it's just wonderful because I wake up every day with the feeling like, you know, I'm wanted, I'm desirable, I can get dates, you know, I'm not an outcast, I'm not at a dead end where like I was in the States
right.
where I couldn't get any dates and couldn't do anything about it. And another good country is Thailand because they like Chinese people, they see Chinese people, a lot of Chinese people own businesses there, so they kind of are seen as the owners of the business class over there in Thailand, you know, plus foreign Asians are given a high status there. Also China too. I mean, in China the women like foreign Asian men because some like white men, but it's more convenient to date a foreign Asian man because
right.
their families are more accepting of it. Most of them have old-fashioned parents, and of course most people feel naturally
yeah.
inclined to date their own race too. So
except for Philippines,
and
though,
there's
I
a
think
lot
the
of
Philippines is pretty
Chinese
much open
women.
Because
yeah.
it seems like a lot of Filipino are marrying white guys, and plus they do speak English there, and there's not as big of a language barrier. But what do you think of overall, if you're a white guy and you want to go to the Philippines? I've thought about that in the future, maybe go to the Philippines and at least see what it's like out there.
Yeah, the Philippines is actually one of the best places for both white guys and Asian guys. I mean, it's the least racist country in Asia. It's very open and inclusive. I mean, if you go to Japan, for instance, I mean, people don't make eye contact there in public very much, and it's kind of like mono-national.
Yeah, very much so, yeah.
It's
even
very
with
ethnocentric,
other
Asians. Yeah, they're very shy and reserved, and so it's not that easy to meet that many people there, unless you're living there and you build connections slowly, but you're not going to have all the choices you have in a very open and,
right.
and fun society like the Philippines, for example. So definitely the Philippines would be really good for that, and plus, yeah, and most Filipino families have no problem with interracial dating, and the Filipino family will you know, and it's the most of the Philippines is very pro-American too. So there's many factors working, you know, in your favor. Plus, I mean, most Filipinos speak at least some English, so the language barrier is not an obstacle as much there. So you got to consider all these factors, you know, and I mean, different countries have different pros and cons. I would say most countries out there, if not all, have a better dating scene for men than the United States. But it also depends on who you are and how well you fit in. You know,
yes.
There's many factors involved.
Could it be a problem? Let's say, I guess a lot of guys that would go to your site think it's a smorgasbord of women. But could you see yourself going to a foreign country and feeling as much at home as you would if you were in the United States? In other words, in the dating scene, you go there and you think, wow, I'm going to meet all these women. And then you go there and you find out that the women treat you the same way in America. Or that more than likely won't happen considering the fact that our culture is unique in and of itself.
Well, most guys who go overseas actually feel at home instantly. They feel like they can be themselves because it's kind of hard to explain, but in the U.S., there's kind of an awkward ice barrier between strangers. And in most countries in the world, people talk to strangers very naturally and comfortably. So it's kind of like when you meet someone that you have a lot in common with and you feel like a kindred spirit with and you feel like you've known them for years, there's an instant rapport and camaraderie with that person. It's kind of like that. I mean, most guys that I know who've gone to Europe, even a lot of American women say this, when they go to Europe, they feel a lot more at home there. I mean, it's a lot less pretentious. People act a lot more naturally, and they're more, they have more of an inner life, not just an outer life. There's a balance between an inner and an outer life, whereas in the States you're kind of taught to focus only on the outer world, the outer life, rather than developing an inner life, and then having some culture within you. So yeah, the majority of people that I know feel very much at home in the U.S. So much to the point where when they go back to America, they kind of feel alienated and they kind of feel down and depressed because they're not as comfortable as they were in that other country. So, going to a new country has different experiences and stuff, but most of the time those new things are positive, not negative. It's hard to explain, but there's kind of a genuineness that a lot of other countries have, you know, that makes you feel like you can be yourself. You don't have to give fake smiles and say, "Oh, how are you? Great. How are you today?" Like whenever you walk into an office in the U.S., you have to say, "How are you?" And then you have to say that you're great, and then you can talk about the weather and you know, all kinds of bullshit like that.
Everything else I want to say about this country is fake, but everyone just seems to center around having an ulterior motive. Because if we walk up to a woman and start talking to her, what is her ulterior motive on her mind? Is that we just want sex? Or if we go up to a person and we talk to them about, let's say we're a life insurance salesman and we start getting friendly. Oh, you just want to sell me a life insurance policy. We always seem like we have a motive, and we've learned to almost be distrusting because of that. I don't know what your opinion is. I think in other countries, people maybe are not as commerce oriented. They do want to socialize because human experiences are definitely valued as more important than the 9-to-5 or, you know, working 80 hours or 60 hours a week.
Yeah, you do notice that. Most people in other countries are less paranoid. They don't think that every stranger is some potential psycho, and they don't live in fear as much. And you know, people are more warm. They're more interconnected. So they have more of a relaxed attitude toward meeting people, befriending them, and just showing them around. And most people, you know, will if they have the time, they'll show you around and they'll make the time. I mean, they see that as a positive experience. Especially in Europe, for example, or in Russia, if you look different, if you're from another country, people see that difference, you know, in a positive way. They want to get to know you because you're different. They want to learn about your differences. It doesn't create a barrier between you and them.
You're saying, so you have to prepare these trips, obviously, because you can't just go. The idea of winging a trip is not possible. Like just saying, okay, tomorrow I'm going to hop on a plane and go to the Philippines. You probably would have to at least have 10 ladies lined up that you potentially, if things didn't work out with one, you could visit the other one.
You could. But you don't have to. I mean, a lot of people do it spontaneously and have good results.
Right, that's true.
I mean, if you look at it, most things don't go according to plan anyways. I mean, few things in life ever do. You have to learn how to flow and adapt to the situation. And as Americans, we're kind of taught to plan everything, you know, out in a lot of detail.
Let's say you
know,
go to the Philippines, that's our logic. Could you see yourself just as a guy? You don't speak the Filipino language, but you walk out there and you start basically just chatting with a girl, and before you know it, you're invited over to her house and, you know, her meet her family. I mean, how does the process work? Because where would you meet? You're not going to – is the bar a viable place to meet a woman? If you do go on a 2-3-week trip to the Philippines, what is the best place to go? I mean, I'm asking this question because, you know, it sounds interesting.
Well, I mean, pretty much anywhere. If you're in a country that's open and inclusive, I mean, you can meet people in the park, at a bus stop, at the mall. You don't have to go to a bar or a church or be limited to being introduced. I mean, but it depends on the country you're going to. For the Philippines, definitely you can meet people anywhere. But so a lot of it is just, you know, where you are and when and who you meet, you know. But you'll definitely meet a lot of people, you know, and some of them you'll click with, some of them you'll click with less. But the people definitely act a lot more natural and warm. And that's one of the things that guys like about Filipino women is that they have a smooth tenderness and femininity that is missing in most American women. And that tenderness feels really satisfying to the male senses. I mean, and once a lot of guys will tell you, including me, that once you experience that, you don't really want to go back, you know, to women who are much more masculine and not tender and much more cold when they touch you. But yeah, that is one of the highlights of the Philippines. But I mean, In general, it's a great place, but I mean, it all depends on who you meet and when, and you know, there's luck involved, there's destiny involved, there's timing, and
right.
and if you believe it, you know, like people attract like. So when you're in an area and
like,
somebody else is very similar to you,
they'll
tend to be some coincidences
more women than there would
that
be
bring
men.
You together.
In other words,
person.
If I went over there, or any guy who's interested in meeting a woman overseas, more than likely you would probably have your pick more than you ever would hear. I'd mentioned before, I tend to think that there's a ratio imbalance with 30-somethings, and that's just my opinion, because it seems like every average to not-so-average-looking girl has somebody in their life or several options on the way or in their favor. So, yeah, it sounds really good. Other areas that you would not want to go to, how about Mexico, for example? Mexico is even closer than the Philippines. Do Mexican women like American guys, or I haven't seen much advertised in that department.
Yeah, and I was wondering about that. As far as Mexico, I mean, I've heard mixed things about that. Some say that it is great. They found, you know, the love of their life there, and they had a great time. And other people say you know that it's, people are very friendly and open, but the girls kind of prefer their own, and they're kind of, they want to be Catholic virgins, you know. So it just really depends. But definitely it is a poorer country, and it's more communal, and people are more open and naturally relaxed and open and friendly. So for sure it is. But as far as dating, I mean, I've heard mixed things about that. Some guys do have a good time, and others don't really recommend it. But I've only been to Tijuana, which is on the border to San Diego, and that's not a very good representation of Mexico, because it's kind of a, you know, crime-infested, prostitute-infested place. So even Mexicans don't really like it there very much. So I can't really say from personal experience, but from what I've seen, I mean, the women did seem sweet and natural and humble and innocent, you know, and you know, that makes them attractive in my eyes. Another good thing about the Philippines is that the women there are very open to men who are much older than they are.
Yeah.
So it's not uncommon to see guys who date women or have wives that are 20 or even 30 years younger than them. So if you're an older guy in the States, like if you're 40 or 50,
mm-hmm.
and you want a girl that's 20, the Philippines is a good place for that, because they're very open about big age differences there, whereas in some countries, you know, they only want less than a 10-year gap. So that's another thing to consider. You know, it depends on who you are, your age, what you want, your race, whether you want Asian, darker women, if you want Caucasian, or if you want Hispanic, if you want Black, it all depends on what you are looking for. All that needs to be taken into consideration. But I want to also clear up this myth that travel is always expensive. I mean, there are many ways to get cheap airfare, including, you know, Priceline.com or buying those special deals where you get the unsold airfares at the last minute. There's that. You just have to be more flexible. If you're more flexible, you can find cheaper deals on airfare, hotels, etc. But if you arrange
right,
it all
I
at
see.
A travel agency, or on the internet, they tend to have access to the most expensive hotels.
Right, and plus
and
if you meet somebody online,
yeah, I mean,
too,
it depends on your budget.
Online,
if you're
like
rich, none of this really matters. But if you're on a budget,
Thailand,
like me,
you can stay with them, so you can eliminate all of that BS right there. Because if you're actually going to go there to meet one particular woman, she may have a place already hooked up for you.
She can, but most girls in poor countries probably live with their parents or some of their sisters, so you won't have much privacy. It's best to, you know, find a hotel or rent an apartment in that area so you can have privacy with her. Plus, if it doesn't work out with her, you know, you can find, I mean, you're going to go out and meet other girls too, so it's good to have your own place. But what I was going to say is that, I mean, if you book hotels on the internet or through websites, or go to Google and type, you know, find hotels or cheap hotels, you're going to get the most expensive ones, because the most expensive ones tend to have advertised on the internet. If you want like a decent, clean place that's cheaper and affordable, that's, you know, not a piece of crap, but not too expensive either, you have to, you know, it's better you have local connections there that you can ask people, or you know, you can just arrive in the country, get in a taxi or bus, you know, or have a friend there and just ask them to take you to a decent hotel that's not too expensive, because every country has many, you know, hotels that aren't too expensive. Even in an expensive city like Moscow or London or Tokyo, you can find $20 or $30 hotels, but not on the internet. You'd have to have a local person take you to them. They do exist. Right. I mean, they're just not advertised, but they definitely are there, and you can get deals on apartments too, so there's definitely, if you're on a budget, there's definitely ways to do it, especially if you go to a poorer country like the Philippines or Brazil or Russia. I mean, there's definitely many options that allow you to spend less and where you can do it on a budget. So it's not as expensive as people imagine.
I think you're right on the money too. It's not.
There are
as
ways to get around.
Make it out to be
the high cost of travel.
Traveled to the Philippines. Your favorite hotspot is probably the Philippines, or did you like Eastern Europe?
I like them both, but for different reasons. I like Eastern Europe for its culture and its museums, the churches, and the really good food there, and the way the women dress there is so fashionable and attractive, and flashy, and they have really good fashion sense, and people, a lot of people tend to be very intellectual there, even if they're 19 or 20 years old. I mean, you'll find this in Europe. 19-year-old girls can talk about a lot of things. They're very cultured. They have a lot of knowledge in a lot of areas. You'll find this a lot in Spain, in Eastern Europe, in Italy. They just learn a lot. They're very aware of everything around the world. They speak multiple languages. So if you're an intellectual guy and you like intellectual women, you'll definitely be amazed, you know, about how intellectual the young people can be in Europe. You know, they're not into like trash culture, you know, like a lot of American teens are, and they just act a lot more adult-like. But yeah, I like Eastern Europe for its culture, and for the Philippines, I like different things. I mean, the women have a little more darker complexion,
money,
you know,
is a factor too.
Different types,
and
for dating,
poor,
I'd probably say I like
the
Philippines
the
better because
provide you know, a job and a place. I think in Eastern Europe, it's really hard. I don't know what, even in my nationality is Ukrainian, so you'd think I would know more about it, but I really wouldn't know what to expect from, say, a Ukrainian woman over in the Ukraine in today's day and age. You know, she might have high expectations that I'll be a millionaire, but the Philippines, a lot of guys seem to go there and have success. But let's see, we talked about, how about family ridicule? We've talked, that's another issue. Do people feel stigmatized by going this route?
Well, that's definitely one reason why a lot of guys, I mean, are afraid to do this, because their family might ridicule them. I mean, it's probably less of an issue in America, because families in America aren't that close anyways. Once you're 18, you're kind of on your own, so most people don't really care what their parents think. You know, they just, you know, do whatever they, you know, they want. I mean, within their means, but definitely you risk alienating your parents, your siblings, your cousins, your aunts, your uncles, and even your coworkers. I mean, if they find out about it, most guys that I know who have gone to Europe or Russia to date women or to meet them online or whatever, they tend to not tell their coworkers or their boss about it. They tend to tell them some story like, "Oh, I got relatives there, and I'm meeting, or I'm just going there to experience the culture." they don't tell them that they're going there to meet women. So they kind of have to be discreet about it, you know. And especially if
you know what I, you know how I would respond
in your
to that.
I mean, if there's a lot of women in your office and they find out you're going,
you're criticizing what I'm doing. Why don't you set me up with one of your friends?
View that very negatively.
Because they know that they don't have any friends to set you up with. You see, that's another thing I've noticed about American culture years ago, and this is why men are in the dilemma of having to go overseas. One of the options is because it used to be that in America, if you were a guy and you were single or a woman, you know, somebody always knew somebody. Have you ever heard of anybody saying to a guy, "Oh, you're single, I've got the great gal for you"? It's unheard of today.
Yeah, and I mean, plus most people don't know that many people either, because you know we're kind of isolated in our cars and offices and homes, and most people don't meet that many people. So most people in the States probably don't have a big social network where they can pull people out and introduce you to them. So plus you know they don't want to feel, you know, responsible if anything goes wrong too. There's kind of this mentality like, oh, it's your responsibility, you got to do. You know, it's your job just to find someone. Yeah, and the ironic thing is, I mean, if the American women right. don't want you, and they don't want you going overseas to find women, then you know that's kind of a catch-22. You know, so and also the social life, I think, in the States is a catch-22 too, because
right.
I mean, on the one hand, you generally can only meet people through other people by being introduced through other people, but at the same time, if you don't meet anyone, then you're considered a loser. So it's kind of like if you don't have anyone to introduce
right.
you to anyone,
I know this
then
sound
you
like...
can't meet people.
Go ahead.
So then you're seen as a loser either.
Oh, I was gonna say.
So you're kind of put between a rock and a hard
out.
Place. But just go ahead. Oh, I just wanted to.
Okay.
Go ahead. Uh-huh. Well, I just wanted to talk more about traveling. I mean, there are ways of traveling cheaper, and as far as planning goes, some people are very spontaneous. They can go somewhere without any planning and then wing it. I mean, you can do that. You just have to be very flexible, and you have to talk to a lot of people, because people will help you if you're friendly and nice and you ask for help. People in foreign countries will help you along and you know, help you get to where you need and help you find a place. They'll give you a ride, too. I mean, there's a lot of people who hitchhike around the world, for example, that, you know, for years even, that just wing. They always wing it. But they get away with it because they're really nice people, and they're always able to find nice people that'll help them. And but it depends on your personality, if you're willing to be that open or not. But for most people, I'd say it's better to have some type of plan, like not a very detailed plan, but a very general plan. Like I mean, I always have a basic plan, but you got to understand that most things don't go according to plan, so. So it's good to have a plan, but you got to be willing to acknowledge that the plan may change, and the plan has to be a little bit flexible, and it's good to have a backup plan in case, you know, your first plan doesn't work out. So it's always good to have a basic plan and then have, you know, some follow-up plans, you know, and to realize that you have to be flexible with that, and to have backups too, because you might go there and meet someone off the internet that you think you're going
right.
to hit it off with, and maybe she's not what you thought
right.
she was, or maybe she lied, you know, or maybe she turned out to be a scammer, and I mean, you never know with
right.
someone you haven't met yet.
I
mean, you don't
like
know what the chemistry is going to be like.
Who have
so if that doesn't work out,
you
know, it's good to have a backup plan. You should have
what's good about
a few
other
people you're going to meet, you know. And
they're not going to be in competition. Like, it's not like four guys going to the bar trying to compete with fewer women. You're going to have a smorgasbord of choices. So you'd almost be better off hooking up with maybe some guys on the internet who might be in your area and say, "Hey, look, we're going to the Philippines to see if we can find a potential wife. And would you like to, you know, go hang around?" It would be a lot easier to be a little more camaraderie, I think.
Mm-hmm. It would. It would be good for some people who are afraid of going to another country for the first time. It'll help alleviate your fears if you're with a group of people. Plus, you know, when you go out as a group, it's safer too, especially if you're not familiar with the area. It's definitely, it definitely helps you feel safer. There's more of a camaraderie. It's not essential.
Right.
It's not really necessary. If you have some good local friends in that country, they'll help you. They'll help you. I mean, find other local friends
Yeah.
and then you can have you can you
Right.
know hang
How
out
much
like
money would
that
you want
too.
to
But
get? If
so
I went
it
to the
is a good idea,
Philippines, for
but you
example,
don't you know if you're there to
once
meet
you get
women, you don't
yourself
want to
this
spend too much
$1,000
time just
spending
hanging
money,
out with guys
2,000,
too. You know,
what
and
kind of, if you wanted to live
occasionally
cheaply,
it's okay. You know,
could you still have a
but
good time
you
there
want
on
to
about
focus.
$1,000 for a couple weeks? Right.
Well, you definitely can live cheaply and still have a good time. It just depends, you know, on your spending habits and, you know, how luxurious you want your hotel to be, how many conveniences you have you want. I mean, as for me, I'm fine with traveling cheaply on a bus or on a jeepney, you know, using the public transportation. But some people, you know, they need to
Yeah.
rent a car, they need to have a private driver. I mean,
Right.
it just depends on the person. And some people need a nice
Right.
hotel and they need a translator too. It just depends. I mean, it depends on. I'm more of a simple type of guy, so I can, I
Right.
don't need all of that stuff. But some people do, and some people don't. There are, and it depends on your budgeting skills too. Some people just cannot control their spending. They just spend whatever they have very quickly, and they lose all their money quickly. And other people know how to conserve, you
Oh
know. And, and
geez, yeah, I
but
heard
but when
about
you're
that.
when
That can be
you're in a
that.
foreign
Like, in other words, you
country
got to buy a
where
gift
women
for
are
the
poor,
parents.
there's
It's
going to
kind of
be
a
pressure
tradition in
from
a lot
some
of
of the
countries
women
that you got to
to
buy
get you
them
to
a
spend
gift
more, you know,
and
not
so
just
yeah.
buying
Well,
stuff for them, but for
that's
their
a good
relatives
point
and
there. And
friends
then
too.
so you the process is you meet a girl there, then you got to stay there a couple weeks, and then what, you can get her over to the United States within how long, and how does that work? Right.
If you want to bring her to your country, first of all, you got to go back to your. I mean, this is America, for example. You got to go
Right.
back home to the States, and then you got to go to your local INS office, which is the
Right.
Immigration and Naturalization Services Department, and then you got to start the process. You either do a fiancé
Oh
visa
my God.
or you do a spousal
Just to
visa,
get her
but the
over
spousal
here?
visa is only if you're already married. With the fiancé visa, it can take a few months, it can take
Okay,
8
well, if you're
months, it can
making
take a
something,
year.
then
It just
that's
depends
okay.
on the
So then you get
office.
her over.
Yeah,
You make it
plus
pretty
there's
tough
a
for you.
minimum income requirement. You got to be making at least poverty level income, which is like $20,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's like 20. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah.
It's getting tougher, you know, with the more stricter immigration laws, but it's still doable as long as you
Right.
get a background check and meet the income requirements. Even if you fail the income requirements and you aren't making at least $20,000 a year, if you can find someone who will be a co-signer, you know, like a relative or a parent, that can also be achieved, you know, but that person has to be willing to take
Right.
responsibility. But there's some risk in
Right.
that because if she comes over, I mean, and you got to get to know
Yeah.
who you're bringing over. You can't just be blinded by love. You know,
Oh my
sometimes there's
God. Yeah,
bad
that's another
signs
thing.
and you
That's
can
the scary.
tell
So in other
she
words,
doesn't have good
yeah,
intentions.
I've heard that. So
I mean,
basically
if
she
she
could
leaves you and goes on
choose to go
welfare
on some sort of
or payments, I
welfare,
mean, you're
but
responsible for
couldn't you get
paying
her
those back to the
deported? Because
government.
now that
So
becomes an issue that what how does that work? Oh wow. That's scary.
well, you could try, but I mean, if she wants to stay in America, then she could start filing false domestic, you know, abuse charges, and you know, this happens occasionally, but I wouldn't say it happens in the majority of cases, but I mean, it does happen to some people, and when it does, I mean, those cases get a lot of attention.
Yeah.
But as long as you get to know who you're dealing with, I mean, then I mean you can avoid that. You know, usually if a woman is going to do that, there's a lot of bad signs. I mean,
I see. Yeah, if she doesn't,
there's a lot of red flags in advance.
Yeah. Well, if she seems cold, if she
there's
seems cold
of,
at the
like,
wedding,
for example, I mean she might
be
cold
kind of like
to,
if she's
to
not
the touch,
bubbly,
you know,
giggly girl,
or she
that
might
you
look
knew
unhappy
or
at the wedding.
You know, it's kind of like you almost
I mean,
have the vibes.
I know. I knew a guy.
Like
yeah. Go ahead. Oh yeah, your gut instinct will tell you whether she likes you or not, and it's also how she touches you, how she treats you. I mean, a lot of little things will tell you a lot, you know, over time, and you know, it's very obvious. But if you're in love and you're desperate and you know, sometimes you're kind of blinded to other people's faults and you don't see those things. I actually knew a guy that brought over a girl from the Ukraine. He married her in the Ukraine first and brought her over. Then you know, she left him and then he went to the Philippines and found someone who totally treated him right. And but the thing is, before that happened, one of my friends saw his wedding video and she said that, you know, she obviously didn't look very happy in the wedding video at all, and it was very obvious.
No, that's
and
a
she
big
could
mistake.
See that,
kind of
that
like
you
saying,
know,
hey, baby,
she wasn't even into him.
Me, you know,
but
it doesn't work that
but,
way.
But he kept, you
well,
know,
listen, Winston,
people tend to
I'd
rationalize
like to
those things away. They think, oh,
great conversation.
She may not
so
be into me now, but she'll change
subject.
Later. The
and,
love will grow later.
Where do people get in contact and they want to find out more about your site?
Well, the link is at www.happierabroad.com. That's HAPPIER abroad, ABROAD.com. And my email is on there. There's a link to the forum if you want to go there and chat and introduce yourself. I got an ebook and essays and contents and testimonials. You can find it all on the main menu. So come visit my site if you're
and thank you. And,
interested in
well,
global
dating
two
and, of the Roller Steve
the possibility
show,
of going
again,
overseas
Mr.
to have a better love life. And so I welcome you and thank you for your attention.